Welcome back to the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, Leaders Speak, a conversation on human service delivery in New York City. What are some of the future challenges facing New York City's Human Resources Administration? Here's Robert Doerr, its commissioner.
I think that it's going to be a very difficult time because since I've been in welfare policy, I think the average unemployment rate, monthly unemployment rate in New York State up until the beginning of 2009 or late 2008 never went over 7%. I mean, it just never rose above fairly strong employment statistics. Now we're up above 10% nationally, and that's the real worry I have, is that the economy is not – we're not just in a cyclical recession and we'll get back to 5% unemployment fairly soon. That there's something more difficult and more long-standing. But I think getting the country comfortable with lots of people who are receiving a public assistance benefit and working – is going to be something people – I'm not sure everyone is as aware of the fact that while we're not giving cash assistance as much as we used to, we are giving food stamps and we're certainly giving public health insurance. If you believe that the fact that a lot of people are dependent on that kind of support is somehow bad, you're going to have trouble getting used to that. To me, we're dealing with what the situation is in the broader economy and we're supporting people. And they're working. That's what we, I think, should do. But that has costs and it has ramifications. And I think it'll be interesting to see how the country works that out.
Here's Robert Hess on the future challenges facing the New York City Department of Homeless Services, how he's meeting those challenges, and what citizens can do to help.
Well, I think the challenges are not unique to New York City. I think that the challenges are kind of challenges that we need to grapple with as a nation. You know, there is a growing divide between kind of the haves and the have-nots, and I think we just need to be honest about that. I think we have seen a shrinking pool of affordable housing across this country, and I think we need to be honest about that. I think we've seen a much greater gap between entry-level wages and housing costs in almost every city, if not every city in this country, and we need to be honest about that. And I would hope that we will begin to see some real discussion on the federal level, a real national dialogue on some of these issues that will help us figure this out, because we can. I mean, if we look back just over the last 40 years, we've seen things like the GI Bill. Well, when I left the Army, didn't have much money. Right? Didn't get a high-paying job, did not have a college education. But because of my military service and the GI Bill, I could go to school at night while I worked during the day and get my degree. When I got married, I think using the VA benefits through the GI Bill, I actually put $500 down to buy our first house. Those opportunities aren't there in quite the same way they were for me a few years ago. And so I think we need to think about that as a country. Things like CETA program and other kinds of big work programs that allowed employers to take a chance and bring employees in to see how good they could be just aren't as readily available. And so I think there's things that we could do with respect to federal and national policy that would make it much less likely that people would experience homelessness. And I think we ought to have that dialogue. And I'm not sure that we had enough of that dialogue over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years. I think there's a couple things that folks can do. I mean, first and foremost, if you see somebody on the street that looks like they need help and you're in New York City, dial 311. You know, take the time to let us know and we will dispatch an outreach team or other appropriate professionals and make sure that individual is okay and offer them support, offer them the ability to move indoors. That's number one. I think number two, acknowledge people experiencing homelessness as human beings. Too often, you sit and watch and people just walk by and never even make eye contact with somebody that may be living on the street. So make eye contact. If you're in the habit of saying good morning or good evening to folks, do that. That's a big step. If you want to help with the issue generally, you know, you can visit a shelter nearby. take a tour. If you feel comfortable, talk to people. Figure out what your own comfort level is and then push that a little bit. Maybe you go in once a week and sit down and read a book to a child that's experiencing homelessness living in a shelter. But somehow get engaged and better understand the issue and figure out what you can do and what you want to do to help become part of the solution. And if people would do that, I think it would make a huge, huge difference.
Kamal Barwani on the future challenges facing his efforts.
The issue of societal benefit and privacy, the balance, intricate balance of what benefits society versus an individual's right, is going to be a continued theme on Health and Human Service, especially when we get to things like the transmission of sensitive data, and that could be data around health, for example. So those will be, I think, sticky issues to work through, but very good ones. And the city has been very aggressive on, for example, public health issues, whether it's the banning of smoking in certain public places, or whether it's been increasing tobacco tax, or banning trans fats, or doing a diabetes registry. We've been fairly progressive and aggressive when it comes to what we think the overall good for society is. And within line of what's reasonable of what an individual can expect. So I think the biggest challenge for HHS Connect is as we start to think about the ways we can share data that would benefit society, can we do that within an alignment of an individual's right to privacy? I think will be our biggest challenge. Trying to align the data, even though we can figure out what the different data points are and link them together, we may still end up with one person having five addresses and three date of births, and trying to clean all that data up in a way that, again, respects the rights of the individual.
Today's conversation introduced you to three dedicated public servants delivering social and human services in one of the largest cities in the world. Here's their advice to others who are thinking about a career in public service. First up, Robert Doerr, who leads the city's Human Resources Administration.
I have a colleague in our office who's really one of the great public servants in the city of New York who runs the Family Independence Agency, Deputy Commissioner Seth Diamond. Mm-hmm. He is a graduate of Brown. Then he went to NYU Law School, and he's devoted his life to public service at HRA, really his career. He has just had enormous success and led us through a lot of changes and a lot of improvements. I very strongly believe that. As the Wall Street was falling off the cliff last year, he and I were passing each other in the hall, and I said to him, Seth, we don't look so stupid now. And the point is that if you go into something that you love and you like and you work hard at it, you're going to be a lot more satisfied as a person, as a parent, as a citizen, than if you go into something that is for some other outcome. And so I found public service to be enormously gratifying and just to something that I can be proud of. And I think that's the way a lot of people at HRA feel. And so I would say to people who have that instinct that they want to serve, that they ought to do it because they'll feel good about themselves at the end of the day.
Robert Hess, Commissioner of New York City's Department of Homeless Services, offers his reasons for why public service is important.
I guess the advice I would give is first of all, find a career path that you can be passionate about. If you're not passionate about it and it's just a job to collect a paycheck, it seems to me that would be a terrible way to spend a career. So find something you can be passionate about and then try to leave your preconceived notions to the side and learn as much as you can. And you're always better off listening than talking. If you can start there, even things that you hear that you may absolutely disagree with at first blush, give them a chance. Let it sink in and try to understand why that individual that's saying whatever they're saying to you, why are they saying that? Why do they believe that? What's going on with them that makes that real to them? And if you can do that, you can really then understand issues in a very different way and figure out how to move towards solutions over time to complicated problems.
We hope you've enjoyed the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, Leaders Speak, featuring a conversation on human service delivery in New York City with Robert Hess, Commissioner, New York City Department of Homeless Services, Kamal Barwani, former Executive Director of New York City's HHS Connect, and Robert Doerr, Commissioner of the New York City Human Resources Administration. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.